I know, folks, God has done great miracles for their backslid. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Huh? You know what our modern day world wants out of a preacher? A performer. A singer. A songwriter. Amen. A great speech maker. An orator. We just lost one a while back. I loved him. But he was a college professor before he became a holiness preacher. And he was at a camp meeting a couple of years ago and got up and thanked the cooks for the good cooking. He just well been in Heinz Vines versus Vidy Fox even. I didn't know what in the world he was talking about. He laughed when he got through. He could talk lawyer's language that you would never know what he said. And all he was doing was complimenting the cooks on their good cooking. And when he got through, he laughed at the folks and interpreted what he'd said. And he said it in English, but he used words that I couldn't understand. Lots of folks just want a well-mannered man that knows how to eat without ever putting his elbows on the table. That's all right. It's all right to have good manners. But what we need is men of God, anointed with the Holy Ghost, to tell us what this means according to the Scriptures. Now, somebody said it means what it says. Now, you'll have to be smarter than that if you figure it out. If it means what it said, God got feathers and wings. Under his wings shall thou trust. It means what it means. It says what it means if you are spiritual. And the Holy Ghost reveals it to you. But it don't necessarily mean what it says. It means what it means. And it's up to you to live close enough to God to understand what it meant and what it said. Amen? All right? You think that? No. Listen. We need somebody to warn us about that terrible thing. I held a fellow meeting way back in the country, and I had a vision while I was there. I was killing snakes in the aisle of that church. I killed them. I said, I can't handle them all. I killed everything I could, but there's plenty of them left. Next day, I went to eat with that fellow, and a live snake crawled across the backyard, pawed snake, copperhead. We never got that neither. Was that strange? The next day after I had that night, I'd go out there, and there's that real thing crawling around that backyard. We need some good old snake-killing preachers. A preacher friend of mine drove up for a fellow side of the road a while back. Said, what are you fixing to do? Just been saved 2 or 3 days. He shamed at him. He get in his car with me. He got in there, went down the road. They prayed and sought God. He said, I was waiting on that gang. They'd promised they'd come by and pick me up. Temptation hit me. I was going on another dope party with him. He didn't. He's with God. He's been with God for, well, it's been 3 or 4 years now. He married after that, a young man. He's got a little baby. He's doing fine. We need somebody to stop and say, come here. Don't you go down there. Go with me. Don't do it. Don't yield to it. The price you'll pay. The price you'll pay. Sin no more. Tobacco from lung cancer. Cancer of the liver from liquor. Herpes and AIDS. Poor old Hewlett down home. You don't know Hewlett, do you? He's the feller whose daddy was a bondsman. And his daddy went to bond for all the crooks around there, but they couldn't pay him. So they cased the houses in our community for miles around. Hewlett cased them. And then he told the boys that owed his daddy for that bond where they's at. And they busted in and got the stuff. And daddy handled the hot stuff. And Hewlett was supposed to be in the salvage business. He was known to ask a neighbor, how you doing? Pretty good. Your car look like it's smoking. Yeah, it is. Said, I need a new engine. What kind of engine do you need? Well, I need a 85 305. That's what I need. It just so happened in a few days he drives up in the yard with a hand on the back of his gen board. I've got you that engine. I'm a welder by trade, and I noticed where they'd get cutting torch cut them motor mounts loose on that. That's strange to me. That looked like they'd take it out a little different. Had to take it out in a hurry. You needed a rear end for your truck. He could get you one. You could tell he'd cut it loose, the torch. They got by with that a long, long time. But one day, sin caught up with them. Daddy's in the penitentiary for life now. The IRS got him. They got the boy, and he'd be back home before the police from Newcastle hauled him down there before they could get back. He'd be back home. Daddy was a bondman. But one day, that stopped. Hewlett spent years and years. Other day he come up the road, and I said, what are you doing walking, Hewlett? Never walked. always had some sin. The result, it's not a joke. Sin's not. No, and it won't be funny. Believe me, it won't be funny. The end result won't be funny. He stood in my yard and, "Hughley," I said, "how you doing?" "Pretty good, LD. Pretty good. Pretty good. Eat one of these turnips, fella, give me." "Hughley," he eat that turnip. He's up again now. He was scared to death that day they'd pick him up. He just knew in a car it'd be a sheriff or somebody coming to get him. He's back in the pen, poor old Hewlett. Poor old Hewlett. The price they pay. I know it's late, and I've got to go back home. All I'm called to do is preach. Did you read in the book of Jeremiah, the fourth chapter, the 14th and 18th verse? Did you read where the Bible said, "O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall vain thoughts arise within, lodge within thee?" And did you read in the 18th verse where he said, "Thy ways and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it is reached into thine heart." You know what that word procure means? You ask for it. Thou hast procured this unto thyself. Amen. Some fellas home were broke. They kept asking for it. They just kept asking. Did you read in Judges 1:4? I've got a lot of things to say, but I'm going to stop. But I love you, and I want to help you, and I've warned you about the worst word I can think of tonight, and it's getting in folks' homes. It's getting, and you don't guard against it harder. Just let it go. You better put up a guard on it. You ain't bringing that book in here. You ain't bringing that old book with them old half-naked women, them old bad stories, them old cuss words. They ain't funny to me. You ain't bringing them in here. Amen. Take a little stand for the Lord. Amen. Did you hear the latest news? Did you hear about the airline? Oh, Brother Moore, not goofy. Did you hear about the airline? You had to wear makeup to work for this airline. If you heard the 6 o'clock news a while ago, I liked that. I just loved it. I don't know who that woman was that withstood them and said she wasn't going to wear that makeup and thought they'd done her wrong before, or they fired her. I don't know where's American. I wish I'd remember something, but I can't remember which airline it was. But they fired her and passed a resolution amongst the board that everybody had to wear makeup. Dial up, you know. I don't know what makes them think look pretty. Great God, have mercy. Blacken your eyes over your eyes. Look like you had a whipping. My God, have mercy here. I've seen folks that cut their eyebrows off and take a black pencil to mark it. Look like a snake laying up there. I'm telling you, I want to lay them in. Screw it. I won't tell her sister. If it wouldn't offend you, if you wipe that off, I'll do my best to draw you one on there. It's not like a snake laying there. I mean it. Devil makes them uglier in a hen house. And the devil tells them, "Hey, look good." All he's doing is pushing his product. Multi-billion-dollar makeup industry, and he just pushes it, makes our women look terrible. I mean it. Look bad. Hallelujah. That old devil is always always. Well, let me get back to the Bible. Judges, this old king, they got him. Cut off his toes. His big toe and his thumb. "As I've done to others," he said, "so hath the Lord requited me. 70 kings I've cut their toes and thumbs off, and one day the chickens come home to roost." Thou hast procured this unto thyself. Amen. You teach your children to cuss, and they'll cuss you someday. Amen. They'll cuss you someday. Amen. 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 Why don't you raise an old boy that says, "Daddy wouldn't let me do it"? That's one right there. Daddy lay in that room dying when I called that boy. I wish I could have been there with you through that. Don't let it kill you, sister. If he could talk to you tonight, he'd tell you, "Don't you let this kill you. You get up and go on. You get up and do the will of God. Go on and walk with God. Don't let it kill you." He ain't hurt no more. He's happy. He's having a big time where he's at. I called that boy. I didn't ask him to talk to me about nothing like that. He said, "I believe what my daddy preached, Brother Moore. Near as I can tell what you told me, I believe what daddy told me." He said, "I don't want no television." He said, "My daddy preached again." Why don't you raise a boy or girl that has to go off and say, "Well, I tell you, Mama wouldn't let me do that. Dad wouldn't let me do that." Hallelujah. Woo! You'll be glad the price they're paying tonight. My God, have mercy. They're asking me to come and visit to them. visit them. They're asking me to go to the hospital and see them. They asked me to go and see if I can get them saved. How about it tonight? Are you a sinner? Are you a backslider? I'm not making fun of you, but I'm warning you. You're going to pay a price for that. It pays to sin. Somebody said it don't. Oh, yeah, it does. It really pays to sin. You get wages for that. Huh? The wages of sin is death. And you get some other wages before you die, too. It pays off. Sinning. Children, one dark night. I beg your pardon for talking too long, but one dark night. I worked 42 hours a week and went to school every day when I was 13, 14 years old. I put two bricks under my lay seat and drove my mother to the insane asylum. My brother was sick. We were poor people. My dad was the worst man I ever worked with in my life. I had great respect for my daddy. Which dad is here tonight? I love my daddy like you love your hand. He was a sinner man. One dark night at home, I woke, see my father walking, a young boy, through that house, throwing things against the wall like a madman, breaking things and tearing things all to pieces. What in the world is wrong with my daddy? He had got out in sin, children. He wasn't a Christian. I wasn't raised a Christian. And he had got a venereal disease. Didn't know it. And that stuff had got in his spine and went to his brain. They hauled my daddy away that night to the insane asylum. We went the next day, and Dad had returned himself quite a lot. Lethe said, "Where in the world am I?" That's Mother's name. Said, "You in insane asylum, Roy. What in the world am I doing here, Lethe?" Syphilis and gonorrhea were raging in those days, but we traded herpes and AIDS for that. 6 months he spent there. Christmas came. We didn't have Christmas presents. I wore shoes, children. When you stopped in them, the shoes stopped, but your feet didn't. Hey, it's so long, it took a while to get on to the end of them when I stopped. I wore breeches that looked like a clown's breeches. They didn't fit me. Roy, the big doctor, said, "Roy, we're going to help you, Roy. Every week we're going to treat you. You got to stay in here. We're going to position your body. When I put that needle, if you're not just right and you don't behave and do what I tell you, you'll be paralyzed for life if ever miss it." Different system they got now. They got later model stuff now. I said, "You can't go home. You either got a quick reaction from that like Dad did, or you got the slow one like the man standing out by the pole." I went for months to the insane asylum, months and months. I got well acquainted with insane people. What motivates some of them, whether the devil possessed. It was good for him in the ministry later. Someday I'll talk to you about it. But here's to the fellow, still a statue. He'd take off running, run clear around the building, come back, stand just close as he could where he was. He said, same thing over and over every day. "Mr. Moore, this man's got the same thing your daddy had, but it worked slow on him and killed his brain cells. We cured him of the disease, but we cannot restore life to brain cells. The price they pay." You see, folks think they can go out and live sinful lives of fornication and adultery, but no, there's a price to that. Mr. Kennedy wished he had behaved himself now, because the Kennedy name has been hurt bad enough by things that have been written about President Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe. He didn't read it? Fella got a big book out on that, and they're going to sue him, but they ain't sued him. Why? The price they pay. Said, "Mr. Moore, we believe we can help you." Daddy was the only case on record in the insane institution that ever got a complete and entire cure with no loss of brain cell. God has seen it. He had mercy on us. My daddy worked on a plumbing gang, had to stand there 6 months. Came home many years, he lived many years, never drank again, never lived that sinful life. He didn't really get saved then, but that broke him. I don't know what it's going to take, but the price people pay is tremendous. It marked me for years. I had nightmares of my daddy going through the house, turn the house up, turn the house up, turn the house up. I don't enjoy telling that. I don't tell it often, but why did I tell it here tonight? What are you fooling around with? What are you flirting with? Huh? Some old boys got as good a woman as they could possibly have. And I don't know what in the world they're paying any attention to that flip for. That girl, the devil, just used to be a regular flip. There's people sent from the devil, ain't sent for nothing else but to tear up homes. Amen? I took a trip, preacher brother, am I out of order? Now, boys, I may be out of order. I could get out. I've been out. I may be going, you're tired, ain't you? I'll tell you what, I ought to buy you a hamburger tonight. I took a trip. I'm ugly. Did you know that? Look here, just like a horse's head. Right. I'll say right, won't you? You put that. See there? Just like a horse head. Right. You are right, and you know it. That's his heart. I love that thing. But you know, I took a trip. I took a lot of them by myself, thousands and thousands of miles of them by myself, gone home 3 or 4 weeks' time. Yes, you got to do a lot of things to be a preacher. Main thing you got to do is live right when you're gone. Rented a motel room, ice all over, snow all over. Had 30 rooms or more here, and I rented one, I drove as far as I could. It's too dangerous. Man, it's bad. I pull in here, and this fella gave me a room up there, and I drove up there, and there's a car sitting right here, and I was going in this room, and there's 35 rooms, and here's one car sitting there. And I pull in there, well, I said, there's somebody here in this other room. All it is between them rooms that I rented there was just a latch on the door on each side, so I latch and walk through. I heard a little dog in that other side, and I heard the door open. It's about 12 when I rolled in there. And a woman walked out that door to that car with her dog. Left and come back to let me know that her and the dog was all that was in that room right there. I say, Satan, you're smart. You've deceived kings. That doctor that committed suicide at Blanchard, Oklahoma, a doctor, well-educated man, was a dope fiend. And you got him on it and killed him. You're sharp. You messed Solomon up, wisest man that ever lived. And why would you pay attention to a thing like me, but you after me too? He didn't get me, thank God. No, sir. But the price they paid. That old man sat by his dying wife, or lay by his dying wife. He was dying. Loved birds from the time they married. When he married her, he had run his hand through her. He always loved to do that. Run his hand through her. He lay dying. She said, George, is there anything in the world I can do for you? If there's anything in the world I can do, let me know. He said, you may not think it sounds just right, but if you would, let me run my hand through your hair again. She said, George, it's real thin and it's real gray. Ain't hard enough left. That won't have no difference. Let me run my hand. That's love. You'll jump and shout because you overcame. You will sing with the angels because you overcame. Have booked a New Testament in Revelation. Blessed is he that overcometh. Blessed is he that overcometh. Let's stand. Everybody, I've preached too long, but I've talked to you tonight on the price they pay. And if you're here and you've sinned, don't go away from here saying that preacher making fun of us. I'm a human just like you are. No different than you are. But look, if you've sinned, come down here. And if you've backslidden, you've done something you know is wrong, don't cover it up. Don't tell the whole world. I'm going to talk to you, man. I had a fella here a while back. I get called from everywhere. Don't let your mind run off with you now. Furthermore, there's a preacher boy here that's working in a woman's house. And sent a woman doing some work for him. She grabbed him and kissed him. You ain't having that trouble women flirting with you, are you? Or men flirting with you, are you? I really think what causes folks to flirt with others is that others accept the flirt. I cannot picture a man that a woman just grabs him and bear hugs him and wraps him around kissing him. He can't keep her from kissing me. My brother used to break them flirts pretty easy. He just got saved. We got on the bus. Me and him wasn't married. And he was standing there, and there's an old girl tried to flirt with him and got right up against him. And he said, hallelujah to God. You can make room for you. You can make room there. I mean, he made room. That's my buddy, my brother. Flirt. Flirt. Having trouble with people flirting. Look, the devil will send somebody to wreck you and ruin you if you've made a mistake, if you're in trouble, if you've done something you hadn't ought done tonight before I leave Missouri, while we have a little music, come on down. Look, wait a minute. I didn't finish that, though, sister. What I was going to tell him was, don't tell everybody. This boy got in a trap. A woman kissed him. Son, did you confess that because you wanted to beat others from telling that on you before we heard it, or did you tell it because you really feel condemned? I'm condemned. All right, we're going to believe you. You've been teaching a class. We're going to pray with you all week. You think I'll tell my wife? No! Oh, now, Brother Moore, I know it, but you ain't preaching. Don't saddle her with that. Bear your own guilt, and we're going to try to pray you through and get you straightened out. And if you're going to be willing to get straightened out, we're going to straighten you out. But you don't tell her nothing yet. And you'll be up teaching next Sunday before we tear this church up over your transgression and let you get up and sling snot and tears and try to justify yourself. We're going to put you right back on the load and watch you like a hawk. And if you mean business, we're going to open God's door of mercy, because he's merciful. If he wasn't, we'd all be dead tonight. Huh? Brother Moore, that's where you run church business sometimes. It's according to who I'm dealing with. Dealing with a young man here. He has been tripped. He's not a mean man. We're going to pull him out of that. We're going to help him walk again. We're going to do him like I done that woman that traveled on her husband. And he said, Brother Moore, she runs that man up yonder. She confessed it to me and cried. I said, she did. She asked you to forgive me. Yes, I said, she did. And said, I owe him, afraid I'll kill him. Don't preachers get in a mess? I volunteered to go see what he owed him, and I'd pay it for him. Oh, mercy. I went and said, so-and-so, oh, he run his hand on the counter where his gun was. He knew I was his buddy. Hey, Collins, that shook me up a little. He run for his gun. I said, he want me to ask you if he owed you anything I'm supposed to pay it for. Oh, jerk his hand back. No, he don't owe me nothing, L.D. Then running with his wife. I'm talking to you because you're humans and because you're flesh and because you have to sin, and warning you, you're going to pay a price for it if you don't behave. Amen. A few days went by, she cried and prayed and asked his forgiveness every day and every night, and about 3 months went by, and she said, I'm going to lose my mind. You don't know where it's at. I've been everywhere. You know what I'm talking about. Said, lose my mind. Said, he just all the time, just on me all the time. Lord got on me. Well, don't preach, get into it, Brock. If you ain't take it, you can't make it. Well, resign. Glory to God. Oh, God put a little steel in her backbone. You got to have it. You know what? I went to him, I said, you are not right. You're worse off than your wife was. Now, don't, Tricia, I'm just using you for an illustration. Don't faint. You're a good girl. You get scared. You ever see anybody in church beat everybody else at the altar every time they prayed? Anybody just watch a priest on the head under conviction, good as people you had. But Tricia, I said, you're a good woman. And I went to him and I said, you're worse than she ever was. What do you mean, Preacher Moore? I said, you won't forgive her. And she's done everything she can to fix that. You poor hard-headed thing, you. You want to run her off now. Well, he said, maybe you're right. That's been 20-some years ago. Nobody knows who it is. I know a lot of people. He's been a deacon. Only thing God ever moved on me to do after she prayed through and straightened that up was go to her one day and say, you're a good woman. You're a good woman. And I said, when people ask me, do I know you and your husband? I say, yeah, that's a good woman. That's a good man. How about the mercy of God, boy? What did it bring you out of? Don't be a judge here now. Let the preachers take care of that preaching, that Bible. And you pray for people when they come to God. Ain't a man of God in here wants to justify evil. But we don't want to slam that mercy door. We won't ask God to hear them when they pray. Straighten them out. He can do it. Only a woman messed up so bad down home. She said, I want to talk to you about my life. How can I straighten it out? Lord, I don't know how that could ever be straightened out. I had no answer, Blue. But I said, God loves you. And some way or another, if we'll pray, he is able. One old boy said, I married a woman, L.D., and said, in a month later, I got her lawyer's letter, and she didn't know I got it, and said, your divorce is just about final. Said, I never knowed she'd been married before. He said, I just packed her suitcase and sent her back home, went and got me a good wife. What do you think about it? I said, well, Glory to God, you wasn't married to the other, and she was another man's wife. You couldn't have been married to her. You was living with another man's wife. I guess you could go marry. Oh, ain't I into it, Joey? What a mess folks gets into. The price they pay because they won't make a trip down here and get a hold of God and find the will of God out. Ain't that awful? How about it tonight? Who wants to come, pardon me for interrupting, play the piano? Come on. Don't feel like we're trying to make you stick out like a sore thumb. I've got to go for Missouri. If this ain't for you, that's all right. But if it is, come on. We want to help you. This ain't your judgment, children. We want to help you. Come on. Pray, boys. There may be somebody here that's in a jam. Come on. Let us help you. We'll do our best to help you. The price they pay. I hear you. You said, Brother Moore, if I step out and come, they'll think I'm guilty of chasing a man or chasing a woman. Well, I've done preached it, but if you'll be bold enough to come, Lord, we ain't worried about what they think. We're going to come down here and try to get some help from God. That's what we're going to try to do. Dear God, have mercy upon this young man that's come down here. He wants help over something. I don't know what it is. I don't know him hardly. I've just seen him since we come here. I ask you to have mercy upon him. You hear prayer all over the world at the same time. You're too kind to be unkind. You're too faithful to be untrue. Mercy's door swinging wide for every man who comes through it. We ask you to bless this young man for the glory of God. Is this the only one? Is that the only one?